This segment with Baylor head football coach Matt Rhule is sponsored by Texas Farm Bureau Insurance, serving Texans since 1952. Edward Jones Investments with John Maddox, Ben Erlinson, Brad Hill, and Brad Wilson, making sense of investments.
Baylor football coach Matt Rhule with me on ESPN Central Texas. One of the things I noticed was maybe the first four or five plays of the game, you had like the single-digit guys were involved. Now, they should be because they're some of your best players, but I just noticed that. Is that something that you, like Black made a first tackle, and all of a sudden you may, here comes Clay Johnston makes a tackle, then it's Mims makes the catch. It's the way it should be, but I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I didn't really notice that until you just said that. But those guys are all out there. They're some of our best players, and so they should be showing up hopefully on the game.
All right, so you're one in. You have mentioned to me, and I've heard this ever since I even ever knew anything, was that you make the most improvement from game one to game two. Is that because, one, you've had the experience of against somebody else, and it's on film a real game?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think in practice, you have such a quick memory because you go out there, you miss a tackle, you drop a ball, and then it's right away, it's the next play. You go out in the game, you drop a ball, and all of a sudden, you have to punt, and you have to sit there for 10 minutes, and you have to learn how to you're not locked in the whole time. You have to learn how to kind of ebb and flow throughout the course of the game. So there's so much to learn in the game. And, there's results. You come in on Sunday or you come in on Monday, you watch the film. And if you're really honest with yourself, then you can eliminate the things. I asked the team yesterday, I said, just find one to three things that we can improve on as a team. One to three things on offense, defense, special teams. One to three things for each person. And it's great when you have a game like that where you can get so many guys in. I think 36 guys, I think it said 34 at the press conference. It turned out it was 36 guys played in their first game. So even, as you go out to practice tomorrow, guys who, maybe they played four or five snaps, but everyone has a lot more energy and juice because they had a chance to get into a college football game.
Did you notice at the end of the game, because of what you guys have been through this journey, this process, that it was a win, it's nice and you enjoy it, but it was business as usual? Did they handle it pretty well? That's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah, I think they handled it well. I think, football's such a weird game. When you have the lead like that, it's like the joy of the win kind of dissipates throughout the course of the third and fourth quarter, and you're enjoying watching the young guys go out there and play, and you kind of go in the locker room and it's, hey, mission accomplished. You walk through the building, there's 1-0 signs everywhere, and I tell them, there's a mission each week, and that's to win the football game, to go 1-0, and there's a standard beyond that to play great football. And I think our guys, they know we won the game. I think they wanted to come in on yesterday and look at the film and say, hey, did we meet our standard? Are we playing hard enough? And I think there's a lot of things that are not to our standard. And so everything from the sideline to practice to all those things, I've challenged our whole organization, hey, let's get better. So I think that's just a mature football team that has that approach.
What did you not meet the standard?
I don't think we played hard enough on times at defense. We didn't run the ball well enough on offense. We didn't protect the quarterback enough. I thought, we had a mistake on third. We would have had a first down conversion. We had a mistaken route. So things like that. We had three drops. I think we're pretty much better penalty wise. At the end of the game, we were scrambling to get guys in. So there were some substitution issues, which I can kind of live with. But, it's like everything in life. I tell our team, you didn't play well. You didn't play bad. You just played how you played. And so trying to see the truth of the film and improve it for next week.
You mentioned 36 players the first time. How much does that help morale?
Oh, I think it helps a ton. I mean, I remember the first time I ever got in a game, I played eight plays and ran off the field at Penn State like I was like, king of the world, And so, these guys, they've worked so hard and they've grinded so hard and so many of them have overcome so much. And, we had one player, and I won't say who it was, but he had a terrible, terrible death in the family the night before. And we were able to get him in for like two plays. And does that make that feel any better? No, but just there's so many guys, so many great stories on the team, so many guys who sacrifice and no one ever calls their name. And so to just get them out there for a couple plays to me means a great deal. And I hope that all those guys come in here. And they were in here yesterday with a bounce in their step. Mm-hmm. And, because what we're going to ask them to do this week is hard.
I people will love college football. They love to watch it. You described why it was so special last week. And it's easy to see in watching games over the weekend. But at the same time, 99.9% of the people listening right now did not play a down of college football. I sure didn't. I never had a chance to really do much of anything. How hard is it? I mean, do we take that for granted sometimes?
It's so hard. And we probably make it harder here than most, you know, because we have really high standards for off the field and on the field and the way we practice and the way we want to play. But I think that there's a confidence that comes from that. I told our team before the game, you have no right not to feel confident. You can have jitters, you can have nerves, but you better be confident because of the preparation and the work and the process they put into it. And while things weren't perfect, I was proud to see a team on defense that really hit people and was physical. I was proud to see a team that played like a team. And so those things all made me excited.
You did have some good hits early on. I think Clay Johnston had one, like I said, maybe the second play of the game. Is that because of speed, knowledge, or physicality? Because everyone's bigger.
All three. I mean, you know, you can be a fast runner, but you have to play fast. And you have to have confidence to play fast. And to have confidence, you have to be prepared. You have to know what you're doing. And we're also a much stronger team now. A lot of those guys that are playing is, you know, 180-pound safeties are now 195, 200. We have 230-pound linebackers who once played at 215. So, you know, what we've done in the weight room, what the players have done nutrition-wise, I think has all that has come to bring them to the point where they're at. And now they have to continue to do it to continue to have success.
You know, sometimes when there's a game, whether it's this weekend, Texas LSU, or your game with UT San Antonio or Clemson A&M, there'll be one human interest story that a national network will focus on. And they almost like keep on, they don't let it go from week to week to week. Isn't it amazing, though, how many of your players have some sort of adversity? We mentioned, you know, a lot of them, but almost they're like real people. They have things that go on, and it's amazing how many really have overcome a lot.
Yeah, they are real people, and they have, you know, family things, and they, you know, we do a little chapel on Sundays because we can do that, and you know, I always say, anybody have any prayer requests? You know, and it started out with not many guys would say much, and you know, things that kids are dealing with, not just on our team, but in society. I mean, life's complicated right now, and so you know, we want to make sure that we're always there for them. You know, besides just football, I woke up Sunday morning to an 8 o'clock phone call, and you know that you always kind of say, "What, you know, what's that mean?" And a kid and his mom is sick, and can I go see her? And so there's just so many things going on, and it's our job. The number one job of this football program is to make sure that our players' lives are better after having been here. And so that means we want to win. We want to teach them how to be great players, get them an education. We also want to make sure that we teach them how to be men, and we are there for them through their times of distress. And so a lot of guys are overcoming a lot, and that's why it's important to get them all in the game, let them have, you know, some joy out there.
You could do anything. You can do whatever you want, whatever you can, to try to educate these young men to take care of their own business and do things right. But it's still 100 and some guys. And you mentioned that 8 o'clock phone call. Do you at night when you go to sleep on a weekend, is it sometimes you toss and turn because you never know, even if you've done it all right?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, my kids are still kind of young, but I still, you know, my son's 14 now, and I remember when I would go out, I'd come home, my mom would still be awake when I got home. So
of course,
you think about it like our own kids. You know, we know our kids are going to make bad decisions. We know, you know, kids are going to make bad decisions, and you just hope they're not bad enough that they can't live through them, that they can come out on the other side. And so you put 100 kids into that. Yeah, I worry for our team. We do our best to talk to them. We talk to them after the game about making great decisions. But, you know, at the end of the day, they have to make those decisions. And we're sending out text messages every 2 hours. I've been doing that since I was at Temple. That's not a Baylor thing. That's a young people thing, saying, hey, remember these guidelines. Just hoping that, you know, the guys will stop before something bad happens.
I was remarkable. Colby Carthel, who I gotten to know, and I know you guys have a tremendous relationship. And I had him on a couple of times, 3 or 4 times in their national championship run at A&M Commerce. I'm an SFA alum. I'm not sure if you knew that or not, but I saw his note that you and Julie had left them a gift basket that had Waco, you know, and he said, I'm not sure if this is how normal this is, but that picture of the gift that you all left for them has had like nearly 1,500 likes on Twitter and 200 or 300 responses.
Yeah, I mean, I think you and I both know that has nothing to do with me. That's my beautiful wife, Julie. And, you know, it's funny. We started coaching, and my first game as head coach was at Notre Dame. And Brian Kelly in Notre Dame left the gift basket. And I said to my wife, I said, well, they're just trying to fatten us up before the slaughter. And I remember going back to Penn State, and James Franklin left something. And that was somewhat common in the American. So Julie, right off that, Julie's done it for every opponent over the last 7 years. You know, so we drive it down. One of our coaches drives it down to Temple, and you know, we want to. I always write a note to them saying, "Hey, you know, we excited for you and your wife, or you and your kids, or whoever to be here." And it's not maybe real common. Not many people do it, but that is my wife. I mean, she's a first class individual, and I think coaches. You know, you read so much about coaches being rivals and Twitter beefs, and that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be the gentlemen of the game, and the players are supposed to be the competitive ones. We're supposed to be the ones teaching them how to go play the game. And so it was an honor for me to take the field with Coach Carthel. Took a great picture before the game. He and his father, Don, great coach, my father, my son, and so the five of us. And, you know, I've gotten to know him in a short period of time. I love coaches that do it the right way. There's no doubt that's the phase. I mean, the way they fought through that game, there's no doubt that they're gonna be back over the next couple of years.
Your kicking game, and I asked you this in the post game, and you're like, what's a touchback? I mean, it's like, what's a fullback now, or what's a tight end in some cases? But with Rauschenberg, I saw Mike Sarabo as he's about to get on the elevator after the game, and he said, do you understand the value of him and his leg? If it allows us to work on a few other things in practice because he kicks the ball in the end zone all the time. That's like, I never thought about that.
Yeah, we have a limited amount of time, and you know, like everything, we practice kickoff. Don't get me wrong, we practice it hard. And the one they returned, we tackled it down inside the 20, which is a big deal in football. But and so we have to practice it in case there's wind and all those things. And he's not going to hit everyone like that, but it does allow us to work maybe a little bit more punt return, maybe a little. That's why we blocked two kicks on Saturday, and it gives us a long field goal kicker. I thought Mares did a great job of the things he was asked to do, but it does give us a guy that if we ever have to kick one at the end of the game, he certainly has the leg to do it. So I think we saw from the three freshman specialists a good first game, a good start, and hopefully they'll continue to develop and help us flip the field, because we had good field position this game.
Jamichael Hasty had 10 carries for 25 yards. It almost seems to me that he's so quick that he almost rushes and doesn't allow. I'm not an X's and O's guy, but is that something where he's too, like, he's not letting the play develop, because he doesn't seem to be able to pop? When he does, he almost trips up over himself.
Yeah, I think he kind of caught a bad break in the game, and that pretty much every run he had, he ran into a blitz. You know, like, so there was guys kind of around. He was, you know, he was forcing it, and, you know, forcing it up inside and getting what we could get. I think Jamichael's a great all-around back. You know, he's, if it weren't for him, we wouldn't be able to pass protect. Catches the ball great out of the backfield. And, you know, when you have three backs, the hard thing is getting them all kind of in rhythm, you know. And it's hard to sit there and say, who should we take out of the game? So we played a lot with two tailbacks this game, which I was really pleased with our offensive staff. I mean, Ebner's catching the ball as a tight end. You know, I mean, we find ways to get them the ball. So, you know, that was one of those games where we got up. We got a lot of guys out of the game, so a lot of guys maybe didn't get a ton of touches. Got some young guys in. Certainly wanted to be respectful of SFA, and, you know, it wasn't a game for us to go out there and run the score up. And at the same time, I thought Gary needed some reps. Gary needed to play, and I was really happy to see Gary play. But I think as the coming weeks come, you know, as we play UTSA, it's going to be a four-quarter game, and we're going to have to – those guys will get into a rhythm as they run the football more.
You had a player last week enter the transfer portal. I'm not sure how much you can talk about it, but Peyton Powell, who's a big-time recruit for you guys, how do you handle that?
Oh, I mean, at the end of the day, when young people come here, if it's not for them, you know, I'm the first one to try to help them. You know, I mean – you know, Peyton sat right here, and we had a long conversation, and I, you know, he's been great, you know, to deal with, and I wished him the best and told him whatever he needed. I mean, you know, Elias Anderson left us last year, and I did everything I could to help him all the way up until, you know, getting him in. You know, he got to Sam Houston right before the season. B.J. Thompson, who, you know, was kind of left on different terms, but, you know, trying to help him all the way up until helping him get to SFA last week, which is where he's at. Marjorie Smith, you know, he just went to SFA. Preston Weeks was at SFA. We helped him. You know, this is a really, really, really good football program. And so, you know, guys come in every year. For some guys, they'll be really happy here. Some guys will say, hey, this isn't for me. Some guys want to play a different position. Some guys want to play earlier. And what we can't do is we can't change things to just make it right for everybody. So when guys come in and say it's not right for them, you know, we say, hey, appreciate you. Thanks for letting us know. You wish that people would wait till after the season. I think that that's a great lesson for young people, is, hey, if you don't like it, finish till after the season. But again, as we said, kids have a lot going on, and I'm not here to tell guys how to live their life. I'm here to coach the guys that want to be here.
But then don't you wish that he could have, that makes you even love what Blake Lynch has done even more, or stories like him. I know you got to go. UT San Antonio did win. They look good, 35-7, Frank Wilson, all the things that they've done. You've played them twice. They've been tough games. What do you see?
Well, first of all, they have a dynamic quarterback who is spectacular in Frank Harris. And, you know, our guys from San Antonio, they were talking about him right after the game. Like, wait till you, they hadn't even seen the game yet. And they're like, Coach, wait till you see Frank Harris. Had a torn ACL in high school, had a torn ACL, but he got out there and he was the best player on the field, running around, making people miss. I think he had over 130 yards rushing, had over 200 yards passing. Mm-hmm. And so he's going to be someone that we have to absolutely deal with in every way. Big physical team. They'll throw the ball deep. And then they've been a really good defense the last couple of years. Play 12 defensive linemen. They'll blitz you. They'll play man. And the biggest thing is, and what I love about Coach Wilson's team is, they're not intimidated by anybody. They're going to come up here, and they're gonna want to stand toe-to-toe and battle it out. And so, you know, they got us 2 years ago. Last year, it went down to the fourth quarter. And, you know, we have to understand who they are. Their brand of football is a tough, hard-nosed brand of football with good athletes. And so it'll take us clicking on all cylinders.
Matt Rhule, Baylor head football coach, with me on ESPN Central Texas.